Well, the toxic impact of money on politics has many shades and manifestations. We heard recently that the Ad Hoc Committee on Funding of Political Parties has elected the ANC MP Vincent Smith as its chairperson. The National Assembly unanimously agreed in June to establish this Ad Hoc Committee to look into funding of political parties. The committee will consist of 11 members, 6 from the governing party, the ANC, 2 from the official opposition, the DA, 1 from the EFF and 2 representing all other parties in the National Assembly. The committee would also inquire into and make recommendations on funding of political parties with a view to introducing or amending legislation if necessary, and will consider a model for adequate public funding for political parties represented in Parliament and the provincial legislatures. There are reasons, of course, why we are focusing this evening on the issue of party political funding. We look at the large sums of money that political parties spent in our local government elections last year. Some of the figures that were bandied about for the African National Congress was in the region of something like 380 million rand. The Democratic Alliance not far behind with something like 350 million. Well, to tell us more about just exactly where the origins of the current moves in Parliament come from, I have the great pleasure to be joined in studio by Dr. Zweli Mkhize, the ANC's Treasurer General. Dr. Mkhize, thank you so very much for coming in. A big welcome here at Talk at Night.
Thank you very much. Good evening, Karima, to all the listeners.
Now, just some house rules, listeners. I am going to be discussing with Dr. Mkhize. We're going to be going until about 9:45. In the last 15 minutes or so, I'm going to open the lines and you are welcome to engage the TG on this important topic and whatever else is on your mind. That number in Johannesburg, 011-883-0702. You can, of course, also send us your SMSs. You can send it on 31702. And that WhatsApp line, you can send us some texts or even some voice messages on 072-702-1702. Dr. Mkhize, the question around a better, you know, legislative framework that will get us to transparency on the one hand and also adequate political funding, party political funding. You've been the key driver of this move in the African National Congress. Just take us through what the ANC's logic is behind getting a better framework, a legislative framework. Why is it important from the ANC's point of view that we need better legislation, that we get more transparency on this matter?
Thank you very much. There are a number of issues that are involved here. In the first instance, the ANC conference in Mangaung in 2012 took a decision that we were instructed to ensure that we deal with the issue of party funding with a lot more transparency, ensuring that the funds that are received are properly documented, ensuring that everything within it is above board. The ANC is able to account within the structures to make sure that everything can be explained about where the source of funding was. And this was a very important discussion within the ANC, and it moved on to actually start saying we need to look at what is the framework that we need to regularize or regulate the issue of party funding and ensure that the weaknesses are removed. And what had bothered the members is that there was quite a lot of loose talk about monies destined for the organization and people using the name of the organization to enrich themselves. And they said that it needs to be very clear where the ANC stands on that matter. And so we were given that responsibility, which we had to sit down and go through. The other issue was that in the process of discussing this matter, we were then raising the question that the type of challenges that we come across, some of us will remember the case of the DA and with Dr. Ramphela's party. And here there was a huge perception created that some of the funders tend to determine, party policies and who they associate with and so on. And from the point of view of the ANC, it was felt it was important also for us to take care of this issue, although within the ANC we have not had a problem of a funder that would want to determine the party policy. We needed to make sure that the structure of the financing of parties is such that we can ensure that those kinds of problems don't arise. And of course, the issue is that the party proportional representation, yes, is an important pillar of our democracy in terms of how our parliament is conducted at the moment. So we've been raising another question, and that is, actually, it should not be so much more about parties raising their own funds. There must be quite a lot of, strong say of the public on how these funds get received or get, that the funding should actually be coming from the public purse. Then you know that anyone who is out there is not going to try and manipulate a party and so on.
Let's just quickly, for those who are listening and for people who are really keen to know, what is the ANC's primary source of funding as we speak now? And I'm not just talking about elections, but let's start there. We know that the current legislation provides for funding on a proportional basis. So take us from there, TG, to all your sources of funding, those that you are comfortable to declare. And of course, I am forced to ask you about those sources of funding that, you know, people don't always want to talk about. And of course, it's your turn tonight, but we're hoping to have other political parties here as well. So believe me, the questions aren't just going to be asked of the ANC. We're going to be asking this of all political parties. But just quickly, what are the principal sources of funding for the ANC?
Well, good luck to you on the other parties.
Well, I've got you here this evening.
Yeah, but let me just say the number of sources of funding. Firstly, we have Parliament that gives us some money which gets voted into, which is distributed proportional to all the parties. Then we will then go and get our members. We do them in a number of ways. So there's those who will just put a basic minimum that is for purchasing cards.
That's your membership fee.
That's a membership
fee. How much is your membership fee?
It's around 20 rand. And then we then go out to other members and say they must contribute as much as they can, which is now a monthly contribution, which they do. And again, we've been seeing those numbers increasing quite, rapidly from the support base of the organization. That takes care of those who are employed and those who are, working either in public sector or private sector. Then the third lot would be broad affiliations in terms of what we call Progressive Business Forum, where, some of the business companies would come on board and then they would make an annual contribution, and then we work with them. There are certain things that we do. For example, we hold lots of meetings, seminars, discussions on policy, a clarification of issues and so on. Then we go for just donations, where you'll go to either an individual or a company, they'll make a contribution to the party, and all of it is voluntary. And we always make one point about it, and that is, it is a non-transactional contribution. So you will contribute to the ANC simply because you think the ANC must be supported, or the ANC must be, you like the direction of its policies, and, you believe that it's doing a good job, so it must be given support. So all of these are where we basically raise our funds. A little bit, sometimes you get some of the funds that would come from foreign donors. They're not a big issue now. They used to be a big issue in the past when the ANC was in exile, but that has really tapered down quite significantly, so you'll not find a lot of that. But for any one person that contributes to the ANC, they can't come back and say, well, we've contributed, so we're entitled to 1, 2, 3, 4. So nobody will come and say, okay, I've contributed to the ANC, so I need a tender. We're not into that game, and we make it very clear. No one can come to the ANC and say, I've contributed, so, but there was irregularity in this tender, so please, wink an eye and not look at it and so on. We tell them up front, if there's anything that is untoward, if there's any crime involved, if there's any irregularity, we will make it very clear we're not going to take that money. And sometimes if we think that the nature of the people who are doing this work is very close to a source in government in terms of a very direct line, then we actually don't want to take it. So there have been a few times that we've actually declined contributions coming from anyone. If we think it's just too close and so on, then we sometimes then say, no, we'll not get involved.
Well, it's gone 17 minutes after 9. This is, of course, Talk at 9 on a Sunday evening. I'm Karima Brown. I'm in conversation with Dr. Zweli Mkhize. He's the Treasurer General of the African National Congress. The topic we're discussing this evening is, of course, party political funding. He's with us until 9:45 this evening. We're going to be opening the lines in the last 15 minutes of our interview for you to talk to Dr. Mkhize. You can call us if you're in the Johannesburg area on 011-883-0702. You can also send us your WhatsApp messages on 072-702-1702. Dr. Mkhize, let me get straight to the point. Everybody is talking about the Gupta leaks. Everyone is talking about the extent to which capture linked to the Gupta family has been explaining, or rather been demonstrated. Just today, the front page of the Sunday Times says Gupta spied on banks and bosses. Is the ANC a receiver of financial contributions from the Gupta family? And if so, how much money has the Gupta family given the ANC?
Look, we accept money from lots of companies, and there has been a contribution that came from the Gupta family. If I can just recall, probably the figure was around 5 million. That would have been about 2 years ago. So when we go through elections, we just round up as many companies as possible. So that's what I could recall. With all of that, we're not involved in anything that could be said to be untoward. So you will find, for example, that when we go for requests for donations, we would sometimes say we'll sell tables, and so people will come and make a contribution over that period. Like, we'll have a dinner just now, a gala dinner before the major conference. Many people want to be there, so they make contributions, and others will go in and want to do exhibitions because there's so many people around there. So they put money into that. So it comes in those kinds of ways.
Now, TG, I've covered politics in South Africa for a very long time, and I've covered the African National Congress in particular also for a very long time. I've come across many ANC cadres and members when we talk about whether the ANC is being auctioned off to the highest bidder around the cash crisis or the funding crisis that many political parties, including the governing party, went through. There were periods, for example, where some of your staff were not paid in various provinces, even at Luthuli House, and people were scurrying around, for money. A lot of people were saying that the problem with the ANC getting funding and getting into dealings with shady characters is because there isn't any kind of regulation around where the funding comes from. And of course, once people give money, there's the expectation that the ANC will look favorably upon them when they are in the bidding process. I know officially that is not what you will say is happening, but can you give an idea of where some of the mishaps that have happened might have occurred? Where do the lines, TG, get blurred between the struggle to finance a political party, people who have historically given money or people who now believe they give money, and those people who then end up as fixers or people who try and, bend the system in such a way that you look favorably upon those who contribute financially to the party's well-being?
Yeah, firstly, the issue of staff in Luthuli House not being paid didn't happen when I was here. It's something probably that could have happened in the previous terms, but not this term, so it hasn't happened. Secondly, the question of you see, what we have seen that tends to happen, people go out there and use names of leaders and use names of the party to curry favors and try and make themselves sound important. And that's where things can go wrong. And so for us, When we ask for a donation, we do it direct. We'll send you a letter or we'll talk to you. So it's nothing that's hidden. And when you've made a contribution, we'll write you a letter to say thank you for your 200 rand and we appreciate it. And then that's what we'll do. So everyone who would have either contributed to the ANC or made a donation, whatever, he's entitled to be able to get an acknowledgement, because that we declare we can't actually hide. Where things tend to be going wrong is when people out there use the name of the organization and then they want to create an impression that it's the ANC that is causing this and that. Now, we've seen that it happens because you're picking up corruption all over, and so people do take those kinds of chances. In some instances, some people have tried to open an account and then say people put a contribution to the ANC, and we have actually charged a number of people when those kinds of things happen. We invariably will find out if something like that happens. So, but where we stand as ANC is that if anyone makes a contribution to the ANC, if there's any investigation that is due because of the irregularity that is involved in that matter, that the fact that they contributed does not absolve them. If there's any problems of corruption, and then of course we get to be involved in understanding that there is that, we'll obviously take a stand as well. We'll not take the proceeds of that. And then there is no company or a donor that is so capable of changing or redirecting the policy of the ANC, because as you know, this meeting that we're coming to in the next few days, all members of the ANC will have been represented as delegates, and then there's specific invited guests that will come there. So you make a contribution like anybody, but we will not bring you into that meeting simply on the basis that because you have contributed to the ANC. We'll bring you in because we're looking for people in a particular sector of business. We're looking at experience of black business in this and that and so on. That's how we invite them. So they'll come as group, maybe business organizations, that kind of thing. When you come in, as someone who's going to make a contribution with your ideas. But I don't think that there's one organization that can put so much money that they can actually redirect the thinking of the ANC. If people are doing things which are wrong, corrupt, irregular, and so on, they're doing it out there, but they're not doing it through the structure of the ANC, not certainly not through the funding.
Let's come to the ANC's investment vehicles. Before your time as Treasurer General, there was a lot of newspaper reports about the ANC's investment vehicles and that it is also involved in tendering for state, through state-owned companies. There was the whole question around Hitachi. Are you in your tenure, as you're preparing to go to conference and getting your books in order, are ANC investment vehicles involved in tendering for government business? And how does the governing party deal with that, particularly when it comes to potential conflicts of interest and also when mismanagement is involved?
Well, some years back, some of the companies were set up with the intent of being ANC companies. That was changed over a period. They were ultimately released. It was a history of how they were developed that became an important link, but actually a number of them were released, and so some of them no longer bear any relationship with the ANC, but some will continue to give contributions to the ANC, but they are run as independent companies. The ANC doesn't play any role in their lives, and if sometimes they say they can't give ANC money, then ANC can't do anything about it. So they become more of a companies that support rather than being directed from ANC, from Luthuli House. So we don't have a whole section there that's sitting there and directs all the companies which way to go. So that's the one issue. The second issue is that Hitachi matter, we actually went quite a bit into that. And we actually know that the bidding processes did not involve ANC. And those who were caught up, for example, were leaders of the ANC, were part of the boards of Eskom. There were a number of investigations that were done. The public protector investigated their influence and found that there wasn't any influence. And then what they actually did, they did a audits, which was done with reputable companies that understood the whole power energy industry, and that the big lawyers that got involved, big company lawyer companies and big audit firms, which are international, they were the ones that did the auditing. They did it two times. When the first time the first companies bidded for it, and of course there was an award which was given, I think it was to Alstom, and then they concluded that process. And then when that happened, Alstom had nothing to do with Chancellor House. It was, after they'd rejected that tender, that contract, because it was now Alstom that had rejected the contract and said they were not interested and they wanted to change the figures and so on. So that upset Eskom. But Eskom had actually had invited Hitachi, Siemens, and Alstom to bid, because the rest of the similar companies worldwide, they were not interested. And then Siemens pulled out and only these two stayed on. Then later, when Alstom pulled out and said they were not interested and actually raised the price so high that the board rejected it, then a new process was redone. And then when it was redone, again, there was auditing that happened there. So both the public protector and all these audit companies that did the auditing did write a formal report. They are there, they are available. So there wasn't anything that we could find as untoward at that level. But even then, we didn't have any direct ANC involvement.
Just now, with Eskom at the front and center of the State of Capture report, we had, for a very brief period, the former CFO taking over and standing in for Brian Molefe as the CEO, Machela Koko. And the Sunday Times ran a story about his stepdaughter being involved in tendering for business at Eskom to the tune of something, of R1 billion. She is, according to the reports, said to have cashed in on about 16 million. There was some allegations that you, as the African National Congress, got a donation from her and she paid for some, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the January 8th event to the tune of 1.6 million. TG, can you just confirm, one, did you get money from Machela Koko's stepdaughter, and what was the basis of it? Because like you say, people name drop, people use the name of the ANC when it suits them. But there are also many people who believe that the ANC kind of doesn't make too much of a noise when that happens, even though it doesn't want that formally on the books. What is the factual situation regarding Machela Koko's stepdaughter and the amount of money that has been said off the back of that deal, for which you were suspended, by the way, did you receive money? And if so, how much money?
Okay, firstly, when we go to the January 8th celebration, we'll send something like 300 or so letters, or maybe more, that goes to different companies. And when we get a response back, that response back is not based on us knowing all the people who have made a contribution. It's just that we'll then go on a list of companies and then send them requests, then they respond. So when we do so, it doesn't necessarily mean we know the people who are involved. It doesn't mean that we have any knowledge of how they'd gotten the money and all of that. It's just that when we have a sense that these companies are doing business, normal business, then we'll just send them letters. Some will contribute, others will decline. And so we write to big companies, we write to banks, we write to different spheres of the economy. That's what we do. So many would say no, they will not give us. Others will just ignore us. Others will give us a contribution. So we don't know the daughter-in-law of Machela Koko. We've not met her. We've never dealt with her. There is a company, Universal something, that did make a contribution. So we thought that probably might have been the name. But we have no idea what's happening in that whole contract. We had no knowledge of irregularities. Where we stand as ANC is that then let that investigation be done. We've got nothing to do with it. And if at any one point the process of investigation brings back a query that says ANC is liable one way or another, we'll ultimately have to settle that if that is what is being raised. I'll give you an example, because there were a lot of issues that arose with the Brad Cable. And at a certain point, we had to go back and actually repay some of the things to say, well, we don't want to be associated. If there's a clear irregularity and there's something that the investigating body says, well, you benefited and this needs to be paid back, you must pay it back, we do so. So in the case of that those bread cable companies, we actually did that. So we will do it if that's necessary. But when we start the requests for donations, we do it to everybody.
Okay, it's coming up for 28 minutes to 10 o'clock. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to focus specifically on the proposals that the African National Congress is putting forward for new legislation regarding party political funding. Do stay tuned. It's 25 minutes to 10 o'clock. This is Talk at 9 on a Sunday evening. I'm Karima Brown with you until 12 midnight this evening. My guest, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, the ANC's Treasurer General. We're talking about greater transparency and possible new regulations to regulate party political funding. Dr. Mkhize, quickly, what are the specific changes in the legislation that the ANC wants to put up for discussion and for that ad hoc committee to take into consideration?
Well, firstly, we have to put some regulation that does a number of things. Firstly, it must be able to give a sense of how should parties contribute and if there should be any limits that should be set. What do we do with foreign funding? What restrictions do we put on all of that? So the regulation will cover that aspect. The other aspect is around transparency. How do we disclose those who have made contributions to the various parties? Do we need to publish that, and then people can go and look at the names and say company ABC made a donation, company EFG made a donation, and so on. Then the third aspect also deals with the fact that there has to be an improvement in the party funding that government or that the public will be able to offer to the parties, because effectively, if we say we want to avoid undue influence from the private donors, that it means then the public has to take more responsibility for that. And that means, therefore, that there'll have to be an improvement on that figure. Then a number of other things come around it. For example, I have raised a concern, which is a personal point of view, that in fact we should even be encouraging the corporates to make a contribution directly for party funding, because they have a huge interest as well in the way that the democracy is being managed.
TG, tell me, how do you see this working? Because a lot of corporates don't want to say who they fund because they believe that the governing party of the day would penalize them. If you ask the DA, the EFF, and even smaller parties, they'll say, no, corporates give us, but they don't want to tell the African National Congress because they're scared that the ANC might penalize them when it comes to big state tenders. So how do you see corporates, one, being transparent, and two, being fair to the ideal of a multi-party democracy and a proportional system? What kind of way do you see them contributing, not just to the ANC, but to the funding of political parties and the strengthening of democracy ultimately?
Well, political parties, those DA, EFF, if they've ever said that about the ruling party, they are bluffing. They are simply politicking. There is nowhere evidence of anyone who has been penalized by the ruling party. But let me also just say that most of the big established corporates, they don't necessarily give contributions to the ANC. It's some of the, mostly it's, black companies that would help, that generally help, because a large number of them understand where the ANC comes from, as it were. For some of the big ones, then they don't necessarily contribute. But I don't think the reason why the parties aren't saying so is as honest as they say. They don't want to show who is funding them. But a number of those who fund them don't necessarily fund the ANC, but there may be a few who overlap and give different parties anyway. But the reason why I think it's important to take this, firstly, is that this is how does the corporate support democracy, as in the case of parliamentary democracy. But secondly, in the case of what you call the Foreign Corrupt Practice Act that is being practiced in America. They investigate anything that's got to do with party, with political parties. But if you have a provision that allowed anyone to contribute and it's known it goes to the parliamentary purse, then it should not be a problem because we are not funding a party, we are simply putting into a system. You know, it's an institution.
And Parliament distributes it.
And Parliament distributes it. And it saves everyone from being pointed a finger, from being accused and so on. It's a best way from where I sit, you see. But different parties will not disclose. We also don't disclose the names of people.
Why is that?
This is simple. It's a matter of confidentiality between us. If I make a contribution to 702, to Radio 702, and I want people to know, I will go and publish my name and say that I have actually done so. If I don't want that to be published, not that it's anything wrong about it, it's not a crime, but I want to keep my privacy. Actually, it's an interesting thing because part of why, you know, we've discussed this matter as far back as 2013, once we came from the conference of 2012. One of the issues as we're moving along has also been thinking about what protective mechanisms do you have for companies that innocently will contribute, but then they will get hounded because somebody will want to publish their names and follow all their companies and so on and so on. So these are some of the difficulties that we're going to have to work through until everybody comes to accept that different companies can make a contribution to political party funding. But it's much easier if they can actually be a pool where everybody can just put their money in there. I've actually come across companies that when we ask for contributions, they say, okay, we'll give it to you, but we're giving to the other parties. We'll use the parliamentary process. And then I said, no, fine, go ahead. You know, sometimes I tell the other parties that they must thank us because we motivated, you know, a donation. They've got an unsolicited donation, but simply because the company says, look, we want to be clear, transparent. Now that you raise it, we'll do it for other parties. No, go ahead. Because the issue is about supporting democracy. So it's going to be an interesting discussion here because it must be about, you know, balancing the two. There must be some degree of regulation. There must be a degree of transparency, but then also the public persons to carry, a more significant load of the whole thing. But I'm saying we can even invite the private sector to make a contribution there, and then they don't have to worry about Foreign Corrupt Practice Act because they will then be putting into a parliamentary system, not to an individual company.
Some very interesting proposals coming through. It's coming up for just about 9:45 now. Dr. Mkhize is going to be leaving us shortly. You've got a little time to put some questions to him. If you are in the Johannesburg area and want to put any direct questions to him or make a contribution on this discussion of party political funding, do call us on 011-883-0702. You can, of course, also send us an SMS on 31702, our WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. The lines are open. Dr. Mkhize with us for a few more minutes. Dr. Mkhize, the question of transparency is, of course, a really big issue. If the ANC is looking across the world at various, best practices, which countries are you borrowing from? What kind of system do you think will be best suited for South Africa, specifically if one looks at the fact that, corruption and manipulation of funding and buying influence is not unique to South Africa. It's a global phenomenon. It kind of goes hand in hand with, the political establishment. Where do we look for and where do we look to for better examples and how best to do it?
We actually went through a number of countries. We in our document, we've got a matrix of something like probably 30 countries where we looked at different things, what regulation, what's the level of state funding, what level of transparency, and so on. So we've looked at a number of them, and we're kind of trying to pick up the best for ourselves. But you are right. The issue of party funding tends to be very controversial. There is a book, I'm trying to remember the author just now, it's called Democracy Unlimited. It gives you a whole story about the UK. Not just was there corruption, but even the titles, the so and so, the peerage. That issue of, the ruling party would give you a list of people and say these are the people who must be called so and so. And somewhere along the line, they discovered that actually there was a price to the thing. And it goes back to as far as 1826 when this thing has been going on. At a certain point, they ultimately had to say they make a rule. And the rule, the way it was so rife there to make sure that the rule can only start after a certain date, just to make sure that the current crop of parliamentarians can pass the bill. Otherwise, they were going to be caught in the same act themselves. So it's something that's going on in a number of countries. So we're picking up a number of examples, but I don't have a set of list of the particular countries. I think we must find the South African thing because party proportional representation is a specific South African
We format. Need home-brewed solutions. Let's go to the lines, Dr. Mkhize. We've got Zakes calling us from Naledi. Good evening. Welcome to Talk at 9. Zakes, what's on your mind?
Thanks. All I want to ask, Karima, is if there is an allegation that the Guptas once offered Mcebisi Jonas 600 million to become or to accept a position of finance minister, hasn't that type of money been contributed or even more to the ANC, because the ANC has never distanced itself from what Mcebisi has alleged against the Guptas? That's all I want to ask.
All right, Zex, thank you so much. We're going to take one more question, then I'm going to ask Dr. Mkhize to respond. We've got a call from East London. We've got Mvusi. Mvusi, welcome to Talk at 9.
Thank you, Karima, and good evening to Comrade Kabazela there.
Good evening, Comrade Mvusi.
Mavovo, I want to make a proposal that maybe as we're going to the policy conference, you can help us in this discussion. I think we need to publish the names of people that are donating to political parties, not just the ANC. Because where it helps is location of their influence on the political processes. There are instances, for instance, where ANC would take a resolution and not implement that resolution the way that we would want that to be implemented. So I want to ask you this. What currently is the influence of donors in the policies of the ANC, especially their implementation?
All right, we've got
online.
Okay, we've got one more caller. Let me just round that up, and then we'll give Dr. Mkhize a chance to answer. We've got Mzwandile from Mdeni in Soweto. Good evening, Mzwandile. Welcome to Talk at 9.
Good evening, sis, and also good evening, Baba Kabazel.
Good evening, Baba.
Baba Kabazel, I've got a proposal for you and ANC. To be honest, Baba Kabazel, the ANC is not willing. The ANC is not ready for that. All the people who didn't benefit on the economy should benefit. Currently, now the ANC is only looking after those people who are few connected. The reason why I say so, look at your current mining charter now. You're talking about from 26% to 30% that black people must benefit. Only few people who will benefit on that 30%, those who are already benefiting the past 20 years. Why you don't make treasure like SARS? SARS is to be a beneficiary of that 30%. So we know that the profit that SARS will collect, we collect from those mines. He will send it through. He will take it to Treasure. Then if Treasure make a revenue of almost 2 trillion, 4 trillion, we know that the majority of the country will benefit rather than pick up certain few individuals who will already have benefited on this mining charter. Why?
All right, TG, let's start off, of course, with the first caller who spoke about the question of the bribe being offered to the then Deputy Finance Minister, Mcebisi Jonas.
Now, I want to start with the last one.
You want to start? Okay, yes, be my guest. Yes.
Yes, thank you very much. Firstly, to Mzwandile, you know, this issue that Mzwandile has raised, a very big issue. In fact, it explains why there's this decision about radical economic transformation. This is the sentiment we get all over. People are feeling 23 years, what what has been done? What should we be doing? Now, we've been engaging with a lot of business, and we're going to the conference now, and the issue we're raising is that we need to change the structure of the economy, broaden it, and this concentration, too few people owning a lot is a problem. We need to open it up wider and make sure that those who are disadvantaged do participate. Yes, in mining, there was an issue that was raised. What was brought to us? There are a few things. First, SARS does get collect from those mining companies in royalties and in other forms of taxes. So they still do that. Secondly, the issue of the number of beneficiaries, the idea is to see how do we increase them, this one. But there is already provision for communities, not just a few communities, to actually benefit out of that. Not only just communities, but also, entrepreneurs. Other people are participating, not in the ownership, but as well as in the whole supply chain, of the company. So we are trying to address this issue. We'll never be able to get everyone to, agree and that we have, satisfied everyone. But that's an effort. But I just want to say that the point that Mzwandile is raising is the sentiments that's coming to this conference and all people raising those concerns. The second one I want to go through, Comrade Mvusi raises the question of donors, names of all donors to all parties. Actually, that's what the law is supposed to do. Then you will not find a DA or EFF hiding behind saying, well, the ANC is going to punish them. They're being cheeky, actually. They're just being cheeky because there's no such a thing. But anyway, that the law is trying to get everyone to, whoever donates must be known. So it's going to be opening for everyone. But there is no recorded case where I'm aware of donors delaying the implementation of any policies. In the case of policies that the ANC has to implement, we are responsible for that. There's no donor who can, subvert ANC policies. In government, I think largely what we have seen would be cases of bureaucracy, inefficiency, that might be the cause, but I'm not aware of this particular case. Then coming back to the one that Ziggs has raised, there's no 600 million that has come to the ANC, and I've given you a figure of what I recall. There may well be other figures, but it's nothing of this magnitude that we're talking about. Then secondly, when Deputy Minister Mcebisi Jonas raised the issue, the ANC tried to investigate this matter. It became too complex. That's why the Secretary General abandoned it. We have agreed now that all these issues must go to a judicial commission of inquiry, and we want to challenge anyone else who's got issues to raise must go into this thing. It's not true the ANC has not distanced itself from the issues that relates to the Guptas. We were the first ones to raise the issue of state capture to be investigated as the ANC. We have been debating this issue. We have, in the last NEC, agreed that a judicial commission must be investigated to deal with this issue. And also, there is no such a thing as the whole ANC is captured by Guptas. No, we are not captured. In fact, you will also be noted, I don't know, you must look at all of those emails. You will not find emails there that are saying that, TG or who and so on. So you are not going to find that.
Just quickly on those emails, TG, the Secretary General spoke at the policy conference of the Gauteng province and said the emails are true. We can't deny it. The president in the National Assembly said he doesn't know anything about the emails. As Treasurer General of the African National Congress, do you believe the emails are real? Do you believe that what is in those emails are true?
No, the Secretary General did not say he knows that the emails are true. He said there are members who are mentioned in the emails who said the events reported in the emails are true. That's what he has said. We don't have direct information about those emails. We're seeing them there. The point that we have said is that whether they are correct or anybody is questioning them, that's why we need a commission, so that all of those issues must be tabled there. But we don't want the ANC to be associated with all of that issue. That's why we're saying let's get that investigated, and the Judicial Commission is the best way to deal with it.
Some people have said that the Judicial Commission of Inquiry is a way to kick the matter to touch. What you need is the investigations by the Hawks and other investigations to continue. People must be, there's enough prima facie evidence, precisely because some of this information has stacked up in terms of facts, and that what you need is proper investigations. People must be charged, they must be prosecuted and be sent to jail.
We don't have a problem with that. the simple issue here is that you've had the churches saying something. Churches didn't lay a charge on anybody. You had the academics from WITS and UCT. They had a whole issue to raise. They didn't charge anybody. You have had allegations with Mcebisi. He didn't charge anybody. So all of those issues need to be put on a judicial commission of inquiry. But let's assume that in the middle of all of this, there are certain criminal activities that would have taken place. Certainly, the Hawks do not need an instruction to investigate and charge those people. It's not for us to actually even say anything further other than to say if the Hawks found that there was a need to investigate, of course, we expect them to do so. And if this whole issue where there are all sorts of stories, because a number of people would have said no, some people have said no, these emails are not true, etc., etc. We don't even want to get involved. We're saying there should be a judicial commission. What was good for us is that we've all agreed the president is working on the matter, and therefore hopefully very soon we'll have such a commission, and whoever has got issues, they must go in there. But the ANC has got no money out of the 600 million that's being alleged, and the ANC is not being controlled by Guptas.
But the Guptas influence seem to be stretching far and wide. If you look at the granularity with which they have been able to influence processes at state-owned companies, in various departments, it is incredible. If you look at the involvement of Minister Zwane, for example, Minister Des van Rooyen, Minister Gigaba, these are members of cabinet, TG. From you, where you're sitting in Luthuli House, does it concern you that on the face of these emails, that the Guptas seem to be able to influence decisions of state in the way that they have and be able to effect processes in the way that it has? What is your view about the extent to which this family has been able to almost direct state affairs?
Well, to the extent to which these issues have been reported with names, with specific allegations and so on, is a reason why the ANC at its National Executive Committee level, we came to the conclusion that this thing needs to be investigated through a thoroughgoing judicial commission of inquiry, so that everyone else can go in there. And for us, we believe that there's so much that's been said out there that it needs to be put in a proper platform that can be able to evaluate the veracity and lack thereof, and therefore take a particular conclusion. And then we will have to act on that. When the commission reports, there may well be action for the ANC, there may well be actions for the Hawks, there may well be actions for all the different institutions in society to act on it. I think it's the best way, but also it will assist us because at the end, you're going to be having a situation where the commission begins to define new lines of relationships, limits that needs we need to work. This is 23 years. This is a good learning time so that in future, a lot of these things must not happen again.
TG, we're coming to the policy conference, which starts on Friday, and then, of course, the elective conference in December. The organization has now agreed that names of people can be discussed and characteristics of leadership. Many ANC leaders have been endorsed for positions of president and so on. Some newspapers have suggested that you are, in fact, a candidate for president. If you are nominated by a branch, are you going to accept nomination for presidency or any other position in the top six for that matter?
I will wait for the nominations, and certainly as you know, all of us are going to wait for the nominations, and when those nominations come, then you accept, because we still want to be part of that leadership. But those nominations haven't come. Well, newspapers have been speculating for the past 4 years, and so we can't use that so much. But when the branches begin to nominate, then of course that's the time to deal with that issue.
Okay, so that is code and can code speak in Dr. Zweli Mkhize's language, for if the branches nominate me, I will accept. That is what all ANC leaders say. We look, of course, forward to that nominations process. Dr. Zweli Mkhize, the Treasurer General of the African National Congress, my guest this evening in the studio. He, of course, the driver behind some of the changes, proposed changes to the legislation that hopes to get us to a more transparent and more open process that will allow South Africans to have a clearer picture of who exactly funds political parties. Of course, politics and money always going hand in hand. What we need to know, of course, is that our political parties adopt positions because we, the voters, instruct them to do so, rather than paid lobbyists being able to use money and buy policies of various political parties.